As we've been mentioning today and talking yesterday, also promoting the fact that U.S. Congressman Dan Crenshaw is going to join us on the show today live on Mobile Mornings. And in fact, he's on with us right now. Congressman, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you with us. Let's start in Afghanistan. I don't even know if we can get away from this subject, but first and foremost, the withdrawal strategy from Afghanistan. I saw your piece in the Wall Street Journal. I've seen your tweets. I mean, what was it?
Well, geez, I mean, the strategy, the underlying philosophy has long been based on emotion, and it's been very frustrating to me for a long time. And, you know, that emotion basically boils down to a slogan, you know, no more endless wars. And this was the singular focus of the Biden administration. And then, look, it's been a campaign promise from every president since Bush. But then reality hits, and you realize, well, you know, we're in an endless war with an ideology that that will not stop, and, you know, with Islamic extremism. So once you accept that, you understand that these choices are a little bit more difficult. So I think that's the broader conversation there. But as far as the strategy specifically on this one, it didn't seem that there was one. It seemed that the only goal was to get us down to zero so that he could fulfill a campaign promise. He didn't really care how he got there. And he didn't heed the advice of much of the members of the military, or at least, you know, the Secretary of Defense, General Milley, who did not advise to pull out this quickly or that rapidly, and especially given conditions on the ground. But if you do want to go down to zero quickly, there is no good strategy. You know, there isn't a good one. The only, you have to stop and actually slow down the process completely, because it will always end up like this. It's very frustrating.
How is troop morale right now, Congressman?
Well, I don't have a good sense of it. I'm sure people are unhappy. You know, what's interesting is I talk to Gold Star families a lot, and, you know, Americans more broadly, and the general public has it wrong in many ways, what veterans think and what Gold Star families think. You know, they want to believe that Gold Star families feel victimized. They want to believe that. And they want to believe that if we rally to bring the troops home, then it'll be a service to those who have sacrificed and a service to veterans and Gold Star families. And if that's what somebody's thinking is, it could not be more wrong. That is, for, you know, as a veteran, I say, look, we don't need your pity. We don't need your saviorship. Okay, we know why we go over there. And when I hear from Gold Star families, I had a fascinating discussion yesterday. Their main concern right now is, wait a second, you know, my son sacrificed for this country to keep this country safe. We had no more 9/11s for 20 years because we were fighting them over there instead of on our shores. And now who's going to do that? I mean, that's actually the concern, because that's actually been the strategic objective of this entire time. And Americans lost track of that, left and right. Americans lost track of that fact. Leaders never really communicated that fact well. And that's how we ended up here. Like, it's a lot more complicated, or I don't know if that's complicated, but it's a lot more profound than just a bungled departure strategy, and which there was, but the problem is much more deep than that.
U.S. Congressman Dan Crenshaw with Dan and Dalton this morning.
Congressman, now the talk is the 1,500 Americans that are supposedly stuck in Afghanistan, and so many of our Afghan allies the same. How do you think this looks on the international stage to both our adversaries and our allies, as it almost looks like we kind of fumbled the bag there trying to get these Americans out?
Well, it looks terrible on many fronts. Our allies, like the British, for instance, are pretty upset, understandably. They advised against this kind of pullout, and their presence in Afghanistan is reliant upon us. So when we pull out, our allies are sort of left hanging out. They're left with the bag. And, you know, there actually is one amazing story of British SAS going in to rescue their own troops in Kandahar, landing a giant C-130 in the desert and doing this kind of daring rescue mission. You know, this was all unnecessary. This didn't have to turn out this way, but this is how they had to do it because Biden wanted this rapid pullout. But when it comes to allies like our Afghan allies, for instance, I mean, this has long-term implications. It's unclear how we'll ever get anybody to work with us, which is important, especially in the special operations community. This is constantly what we do. But it's hard to see how we'll ever be able to recruit sources, to recruit even contractors or interpreters when they've been left out to dry the way they have.
Can you kind of talk a little bit more in detail about how these Afghans assisted the special forces and our military as a whole? I know translators have been mentioned like you just did and sources, but how big of a help were so many of these Afghans on the ground?
Well, they're critical. You really can't do missions without being able to speak to the population or speak to your partner force. I mean, you know, for years we've been working with Afghan military. You can't talk to them unless you have interpreters. The interpreters are constantly working. They're constantly on the front lines with us. They're mission essential on every single thing we do. Their value really can't be overstated. And it's a shame that we would even consider leaving without making sure that every one of them who wants to get out is out.
Congressman, without going into detail on exactly what special forces have been doing over there for years and decades, actually, are we now, as a nation here on the home front, more vulnerable?
Oh, absolutely. We think Al-Qaeda will be back to external operations within a year or so. Right? You know, they've been decimated over the years, so they never went away because you can't make this go away. You know, I think that confuses a lot of people. You know, they want to believe that there's this sort of uniformed enemy that we're fighting, but that's never been what it is. It's an ideology. It lives within the population. And you will always be fighting it because they're always fighting you. And the sooner we just come around to that fact, the better off we'll be. We stop having these silly debates and making these stupid mistakes. The reality is we have no ability to monitor terrorism activities in Afghanistan. We have no ability to do that whatsoever. None of the neighboring countries will let us use their air bases. So, you know, we can only fly there from Qatar and then get a couple hours of airtime to monitor things. And, you know, even that, just by the way, people think, well, as long as we have assets in the sky, we can stop them. That's not true either. I mean, it's just one asset in the sky. You can't monitor everything. You really need eyes and ears on the ground. You need human intelligence. You know, you need a presence. You need a partner to work with, and we have none of that now. We gave it up. We had it just a few weeks ago, and then we gave it up.
And just bringing it back to D.C., I mean, are there going to be hearings to review what happened? You know, will the American people get any answers? Will you and Congress get any answers?
There will be. There'll be lots of hearings. You know, that blame game will start. Even Democrats want to do that. So I think it will happen, but, you know, I don't want anybody to think you're going to get any revelation of answers. We know the answers. Like, I already know all the answers. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is the answer is very simple. We let an emotional slogan of no more endless wars drive our foreign policy. And Biden has been the only president foolish enough to actually implement that emotional slogan.
Congressman, you know, the deadline set by, I believe, the Biden administration initially of August 31st that then became a red line set by the Taliban. Biden still seems to think we're going to be done and out there by the 31st, regardless of what people on the ground say or other leaders. What do you think? I mean, would he pull us all the way out with Americans that still want to come back home stuck in Afghanistan?
Unfortunately, it seems like that's exactly what he's going to do. And you're right, he's lying when he says that we're going to get everybody out by then. Secretary of State has repeated this lie. Jen Psaki has repeated this lie. There's no way we're getting everybody out by August 31st. It's just not true. You know, and that's just American citizens. I mean, and obviously there's tens of thousands more Afghans that we owe a debt to. who served with us and would make great American patriots. But they're in an even worse position right now. It's tough to get anybody through the gates at all.
U.S. Congressman Dan Crenshaw, as we wrap up our conversation with him this morning on Mobile Mornings, and you talked about the emotional slogan. You know, from what I've read from you and heard from you, I mean, there's emotion involved in this for you as well, as somebody, Special Forces, Navy SEAL, did your job over there. Somebody else did the same. You know, you're obviously pretty ticked off about all this.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of ex-Special Forces, ex-military working to get interpreters they know across. I mean, that's been the most successful so far. When somebody can make calls and they know that there's guys, you know, and there's the network of veterans and they know who's manning the gate. And we can at least say, look, this one is somebody you got to let through. It's been working to an extent over the last couple weeks, but unfortunately now they've really put a stop to a lot of it. And, you know, it's really depressing for a lot of veterans to see their old partners be in such dire straits here.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw, and a couple more questions. The word impeach has been thrown around a lot already, especially on the Republican side of things. Democrats, not necessarily all in favor of what Biden's done here, but impeachment. We use that word a lot over the last 4 years. Could that be on the horizon here for Biden?
You know, anything's possible. It's certainly not while we don't have the majority. So, you know, I haven't given it much thought because people forget that we're in the minority,
right,
not in the majority. You know, I'm elected to make serious judgments. It's easy to tweet out, you know, impeach him, do something about it. But and we have to actually think through what the legal case would be. Look, if I'm being honest, I think there's a much stronger case for impeachment just based on what Biden's done with the border, because that's deliberately and intentionally refusing to enforce laws that are passed. And that is a very clear requirement in the Constitution that the executive must execute the laws, and a refusal to do so would be probably a better grounds if we're going to have a serious discussion about this kind of stuff.
U.S. Congressman Dan Crenshaw from Texas joining us on Mobile Mornings this morning. And before we go, I do want to thank you very much, Congressman, not just for your time today, but certainly the extraordinary service that you've given our country and our safety. And thank you, and to all the Special Forces and all to the veterans that did such a fantastic job in Afghanistan and elsewhere.
Hey, it was great to be with you. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw, congressman out of Texas, of course, spent a lot of his life in Special Forces and fighting overseas for America, and pleasure to have him on this morning.